Welcome to Old Trafford, Niger Branch.
Home of sly tackles, red cards, yellow cards, and 93rd-minute screamers from outside the box.
Home to sure 3 points, trebles, and all Niger Red Devils around the world.
We are defenders, the vex, and strikers, I date, yeah.
So, adjust your shin guard, tie your boots, and increase your volume small.
Ready?
Now let the match day begin.
Good day, everyone. You're welcome to another episode of the Red to the Boot podcast. I remain my humble self, Dari, and as usual, if you are a football lover and a lover of everything Manchester United, this is the place for you to be. This week, I have another guest with me, and his name is Silanet. Silanet, can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, guys. Good evening. Good to be here. I am Silanet. My renewal, because that's alias, I'm Mohammed Robbie, actually. So I'm a journalist. Aside doing football, aside watching football, aside supporting Manchester United, I do music as well.
That's cool.
Besides. So that's my profile a bit.
We all know what has been going on in this country, the protest and the events that have taken place throughout the protest, and for that we'll be observing a 15 seconds moment of silence to honor the victims of the events that happened at the Lekki toll gate. That will be right about now. Okay, now that we have done that, we have quite a number. Yeah. Before we go into that, we'll just like to do a quick review of the games. Champions League, Premier League, Istanbul, Sekşehir, I don't know if I pronounced that right, on Wednesday.
You're forgiven.
Wednesday ended in a disappointing defeat. What is your review, or what's your thoughts on that game?
Yeah. Actually, going back to make a review on that match still bring back a kind of negative vibes to me. But I would say that's what you expect sometimes when you see this lad with their inconsistency every time. Fans are tired of this thing, of this energy. When you give us eyes, and all of a sudden you drop so very low, that's very, very pathetic. But I would say that was a bad game for us. It was not a good one to say. But we have nothing to do than to just move ahead. But I would say that game was, we are just unfortunate, and with little error, by Istanbul's guys capitalized on that, and they punished us for not being effective with our attacking. So all I would say.
So for that first goal, what would you say went wrong? Is it on the fault of the players, or it's something that they had done in training, and it went wrong? Would you say it's just players that were absent-minded, or it's a coaching deficiency?
No, I won't say that is a coaching deficiency. You don't need a coach to tell you that you should not lose your sense of duty. As player, you shouldn't go out of your line. You shouldn't forget your primary assignment while attacking. No, we needed a goal. We wanted to score. We want to equalize. We want to respond as quick as possible. But you don't forget your duty. You don't leave your primary assignment undone, then chase another thing. So I would say the players are absent-minded that cost us the first goal. It wasn't coach, because you don't even need any coach to tell you that, okay, guy, you need to stay here. Stay there. No, you should be able to watch your line.
That is good. I also hold that sentiment. Each and every one of them are all professionals that have played the game. I don't think Greenwood started that match. Greenwood didn't start that match, right?
tough.
Greenwood. Yeah, Greenwood is so each and every one of them, they have played at the top level for at least two, three seasons. So I expect them to know that,
of course,
during a corner, at least a fullback and a DM has to be behind.
So Bisaka, I don't know where Bisaka was that, because
then the other guy blocked the cross and played it for Dembaba.
So I
do not understand how we could have left Dembaba alone on the halfway line. Alone, I don't know where. If Bisaka is going forward to cross, what happened to Shaw? What happened to Matic? Let's say, okay, we know Shaw is our attacking fullback. If we have two back, we should have at least them back.
Yes. So we will have to go to the front.
Like, but so just a whole shambles.
Yes,
and
yes,
to be honest, I hold the sentiment that it is not a coaching deficiency. But at the same time, it is not. I don't know how I explain it, but.
All right.
It is not. I think.
Okay, yes. You think?
Yes.
You think the coach also should be
because during a match we have aside the manager we have three more coaches
lacking, right?
On the bench with him there. There should be someone that thinks that Dembaba is free.
Yeah.
On the halfway line.
The coach.
Someone should hold him because I don't know. But moving forward, that result has gone, and we are still at the top of the table thanks to our start padding against Leipzig. Moving on, game. The Everton game, I wouldn't say it was a convincing win. I'll just say it was a good win because they were cold moments. They were cold moments. So I won't say it was a convincing win. So it was a good win. What's your thought on that game, on the Everton game?
I would say that was a nice response from our guys, from the lads, actually. They responded well, but not the 100% performance we wanted from them. Like you said they were cold moments in the game, yes. Where you have this attention part of the game where you see these Everton guys coming forward, pumping forward, charging forward, wants to score, wants to equalize, wants to do anything possible to get their goal as well. And there were times where we gave them much of the ball. They played much of the ball. So I would say it was a good response, but not the 100% performance that we were wanting from them. But to me, I'm really happy about the... I was happy about the performance that we can outscore them and only can outclass Ancelotti, because this was the manager that level with us his first game with Manchester United last season. So coming to the game with kind of what kind of energy, whereby you have everybody that have lost two games in a row, you want to have this energy to win their third game, preventing them losing three matches in a row. So that was a good response from us. Like you said, not a masterclass performance, but a good response to our loss.
And we had now to business of the day. Our first top day is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and his future at Manchester United. Right. In your own opinion, what is your assessment of his time so far?
Let me give him. If I should call him over 10, I would give him 6. 6 over 10. 6 because if you see this man, he has come to the team to give us the vibes we've longed for a very long time. And you see this man giving this player backing, encouraging them, bringing that mentality, the DNA back into their body. And giving them the mentality that, okay, we can win anything. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer needs time, like I do say, like I do tell people. So far, so good. Over 100 games, he won above average. So that was a good start for him. And I would say, so far, so good. Has been an okay manager for me, personally, like you asked of my own opinion. To me, has been an okay manager. Comparing, considering things happened within the club, we all know the stories. The woodward of the team, Blazers and whatsoever, the players not so world class and others. So for a manager of his level to manage the Manchester United team to this point, seriously, it was a fantastic thing. And his first few season got us to third on the table. So I would say in
okay, so would you say we know you are not in support of him leaving the club right now. But would you say if he was relieved of his if he was released of his position right now, would you think it was justified?
No, it's not justified. Because you can't relieve someone like that from his position because of what is not the like we say the doer or instigator rather. Like this is Manchester United we all know, we all watch. We see these guys. We see Ole giving them instruction and not adhering to it, not listening to his instruction on the pitch. You understand? Sometimes they do what they want. So you can't say, leaving him is justified. Not at all. Before you leave him, let him have whatever he wanted. Let him have the new squad he wants. Okay, you can say, okay, ever since Ferguson has gone, this has been the best squad we Alex Ferguson has gone, this has been the best squad we had, but I will tell you, these guys are still kind of average players. I do talk about. They are set of average. It's just the name given to Manchester United or the name Manchester United have that is carrying these guys. Most of them, only a few world class players in this team. So let this man have what he wants. Then you can say after any failure after that. If you relieve him of his duty, that's justified. But right now, sacking him is not because he's not even the cause of. It's not the problem yet. And I'm not saying Ole has a problem. He might have his fair share of the blame, but Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is not Manchester United problem right now. Because I see him succeeding if given time to prove that. I know what he can do. It's not easy. The world class coach you see out there doesn't start the day. They just become. A world class coach on the day. He started from somewhere. So let Ole as well start from somewhere. Give him time. Let him prove that he can do it.
What would you say will keep his job for him? Let's say come May, the end of the season. What would you think that if he achieves so, he should be allowed to continue to the next season or leave it and find someone else?
All right, for my standard, I don't know another fan, but for my own standard, if you can get ready to top four, probably win one or two trophies like the FA and the Carabao Cup.
If we finish in the top four and without any trophy, do you think he should continue? Because that would be two full seasons without, and he'll be the first manager post Fergie that would have that kind of run.
A trophy. Okay.
Without it.
It can happen. You can't compare without a trophy, actually. Yeah, I understand you. So, even if you get us top four this season, without any trophy, we can still give him a trial of a season, of a full season. Then if you cannot give us a trophy, at least even a FA, if you can't give us that, then we can say, okay, this man, you need to part our club. But getting us in top four without any trophy this season is still a good result for me because we are going to Champions League football and going to Champions League football, that will probably enhance your transfer market, you understand? Your transfer
season. I would rate him five. Yes, he has done well in terms of improving the squad. We've seen the likes of Rashford and Martial. They've had their best season of their life under this manager. We've seen the results. Yes.
Sure.
Seeing the resurgence of Fred,
the striker instinct.
We all know how Fred was under Jose Mourinho, which is a former manager. Yeah. Fred becoming a very important part of our midfield. We've seen McTominay, who was originally brought up by the former manager, but we've seen him add more to his game under the previous manager.
We've seen him, a good player right now.
Of the squad generally, we've seen very, very good improvement, and I'll give him credit for that. But why I won't rate him more than a 5 is because winning.
Mm.
As a Manchester United manager, you have to win. I'm not talking about winning games, winning trophies. At the end of last season, I don't know, I expected him to win at least one trophy, and we didn't win any. We got 3 semi-finals. That is good for to get to this semi-final of all competitions you played in. That is a very
but if you are being fair here, losing those semis, you understand?
Yes.
So
it's a very admirable, but it is not a substitute for winning a trophy. So that is why I would give him more than a 5. The 5 is for squad improvements, but until he wins something. And I've said in previous episodes that this group has a mentality problem. And I feel that mentality problem can be solved when they win something as a group. So until that is taken out of the way, I will reserve my
your mark for my coach, right?
because this is the first manager post Fergie that will have me watching us lose to some Wi-Fi password from Turkey. We are losing to the guy. And I watch that game to the last minute. Under any other manager, we're light a lie. From like one home at close Guinea. Why would I be watching one small team from Turkey? But he's the first manager that has instilled that kind of belief into me that this team can turn it around. This team can do something. He's the first manager that makes me look forward to watching Manchester United. He's the first manager that has made me want to watch Manchester United. So for that, I do not want them to let go of him just yet. Should get time to do what he wants to do. Every other manager, aside David Moyes, who we all know was very bad, had full seasons to do whatever they want to do. Van Gaal got 2 full seasons. Jose Mourinho got 2 full seasons and half. So right now we can say Ole has used 1 full season and half. So until he has gotten 2 full seasons, I think the critical assessment should be held until after his second full season.
That 2 season, all right. So we hope he gets us a trophy this season, actually. that would be a very boost for the Ole in guys.
A very, very good boost for us. And for next, we are going to talk about our midfield balance. Now, for you, what do you think is our best midfield combination?
Wow, good question. Right now, going by the performance of the season so far, those guys, I would say the best combination for us that we can have now is Fred must be there. Because I've watched Fred being paired with other guys, likes of Matic, Pogba, and this guy, Maxos. So I would say him and Maxos, and Bruno here, barging forward. Then we have someone to give him the edge, maybe Mata, Pogba, in some instances. So our midfield, I would say Diamond is the best way to win. But when we want to use the Diamond, we need energy and balance. Creating that balance, we need Fred to be present, McTominay to be on his game, Pogba, Bruno these are my midfield guys that will fit if I'm to say anything about midfield. The midfield, we need diamond shape, 4-4-2 diamond, Fred and McTominay as usual. Bruno on the AM side, Pogba from the LCM. So we go.
Okay, for that diamond that you just said now, against Arsenal, we saw that diamond fall apart and the manager had to change it to 4-3-3 in the second half to get a hold of the game. So now you're saying that diamond that fell apart against Arsenal is the best way to go?
We only need to rectify what happened in that game, not like doing away with the formation. Are you with me? Okay, what went wrong? Why did that fall apart? Okay, I would say we were bullied off the midfield. That's why. So at some point, Fred got exhausted. He was just running after the energetic guys. These guys, the Thomas Partey and Bellerin. So we're being bullied off the midfield. That's right. So when we need to use whenever we want to use that diamond, we need energy. This guy's energy must be 100%. Like, we don't even need a 70. We need 100% energy. In England, if you want to succeed as a team, all your players must be energetic, must have strength. So in our midfield, if you want to succeed with that diamond, anytime we are playing it, all of them must be on their toes with full energy, like 100%. That's nothing much. Well, if I'm talking about the game, the Arsenal game, actually for some part of the game we were played, but we dominated as well. If not for the unfortunate penalty that they had. So the result might have been another way around. You understand? So it's not like since the 4-4-2 diamond didn't work out, then we should do away with it. No, we can only rectify what went wrong. What Arsenal used to overpower us in that match was power. They used power. We were being kicked off. Like, they dominated everywhere. They go into every tackle with force, with anything they want. They guide the ball with force. They do their passes with force. So if we can match their energy level, we are good to go. Anything we are playing. That's what happened against Everton. You can see my guys, these guys in the middle. The combination of McTominay and Fred giving us that energy, not giving those guys space and chance and time to decide. Giving them going foot to foot. You understand? So this is what we need, this kind of energy we need. When you relax for them, they will take over the midfield for most. But if you don't give them the space, the 4-4-2 diamond is the best way to go.
Okay. Would you say if we switch the roles of Fred and McTominay? Because in that match, from what I noticed, McTominay was playing on the right side of the diamond and Fred the sitter. Yes. So would you say if we switch their roles, would you say the diamond would be better?
No, it won't. Because if you are switching, that means you have Fred playing from the right of the midfield. While McTominay will be sitting deep in the midfield, which is not the way to go. You can't trust McTominay to shield your defense line. It's not possible. We all know McTominay to be a player, a midfielder bursting forward. He wants to charge. He wants to go forward. He wants to do something. He wants to take some shots. Whatever he can do, he wants to do it. So Fred always, you see him with his energy going back just to cover. Sometimes we see him covering for Wan-Bissaka whenever he's not back yet when we are being pressed, and at the other time you see him covering from short side. So the energy of him shielding the back line is enough for us. We don't need to switch it the other round. Let Fred sit deep down till we get a proper DM, and we have McTominay on the right. We are good to go. No need of switching.
And because the reason I ask that question is because we all know that for all McTominay's defensive prowess, his interception, his breaking up of play, his energy that he injects into the midfield, we all know that he's not the best on the ball. His ability to progress the ball and make meaningful passes is close to nothing, which we've seen improvements in that in recent times, but we all know that he's still far from what is expected of a midfielder at Manchester United. So that was the reason I asked that question, because if you are playing Victor on the right side of midfield, then he has to contribute to progressing the ball, which he has right now, or he is not excellent at right now.
Well, sorry for cutting in. I would say, you know, like my popular phrase, it can only get better. You watch McTominay of last season and this season, there is a big improvement in his game.
Yeah, with you.
So he can always get better. So let him improve on his progression, like okay, making those creative passes, going forward, good passes that will create chances. You understand? Giving vital passes into the box, taking being in good position for shot and all that. But giving him the DM job to do is a bit risky, I would say. It'd be a bit risky because he's not that calm at the back. So you can have yourself to blame when you put him at the DM and he pops
up. Okay. So still on this midfield matter, ba. Paul Pogba, this season he has been underwhelming, and we've seen his role in the team reduced to a bench role. We've actually even seen the team play better without him. And what would you say going forward, what would you say we should do with Paul Pogba? What do you see his role as in this team, knowing fully well that of recent we have played better without him, and his best performance has been from him coming on to change the game. That's where his best performances have been from. So what would you say we should do to Paul Pogba going forward?
Only if a Manchester United fan will be biased. We all know Paul to be a good world class player. But recently, it's not given that. Yeah, it's not given that. And it has been a great concern for everybody at Manchester United. Like, where would this guy play best? Where will he play best? But yeah, the straightforward answer is, okay, we might have results while he was absent in the game. But that doesn't mean it's not important in the squad. Let him come from LCM. I told you, if I'm to fix the midfield, I will have my DM to be either Matic or Fred. In a game where I'm using Fred and Scott, Fred will sit deep, Scott on the right, Pogba on the left, Bruno in their front as the AM. If Matic is featuring in the game, Matic will sit deep, Fred on the right side, while Pogba on the left. We all know that the best position you can get, you can have wherever you can have 100% performance from Pogba is playing from the left. So let him do that. He might have deeper form, or maybe his mind is not in the game. But left LCM is the best position you can put Pogba in. But letting him go, seriously, because some fans are calling him, he can go since we are better off without him. We are doing it. We are this. We are that. No. We might be better off in some games when he's not around, but that doesn't mean he should pop up or he should be out of the team. He's still a very significant part of the team.
I'm not saying we should let him go, as in letting him leave the club. I'm saying going forward, should he stick to the bench role? I know you would disagree with that because of Paul Pastor and all that. He cannot sit on the road, but. take that bias away. Remove the name Pop.
Sure.
Brings to the team as a player, and compared to what others bring into the team, what shooting best? Should we persist with him being a starter, or he should embrace the squad role?
Oh, for now, I would say to be sincere, you should embrace the squad role actually, till he's ready to give his best, he's ready to deliver as the Pogba we all knew at Juventus and other places there in France as well. Let him be on the bench, come in to change him. At least even seeing Pogba on the bench, fans will be be a little bit assured. If game is going on, okay, we still have someone on the bench that will come in and do some magic. You understand? So for now, let's be sincere. You should just be the squad guy and come from the bench.
Okay. That's good. We are coming to the end of today's episode. Just before we go, let's just do a quick prediction. So we are going on international break 2 weeks. When we come back, we face West Brom.
Okay.
West Brom, I don't know how true, but I saw something today that West Brom are yet to win this season.
But they do.
Now our last six games, we have not won at Old Trafford. We've had two draws and I think four losses at Old Trafford. Well, and our away form, we all know our away form is very, very good. We just recently created record. Seven consecutive away wins, 93. But we all know how dreadful our home form is. We've seen the likes of Crystal Palace come here and get their first win.
Yeah, 3 points.
We've seen Arsenal come here and get their first win in 15 years. We've seen Tottenham score six goals, their most at Old Trafford in donkey years. Now, knowing West Brom have not won a game this season and they are coming to Old Trafford, what is your prediction for that game?
Wow. I would say that's a great, good test for us to test these guys if they really they really learn from their mistakes in the past. So I would say from that game, I expect us to like give a perfect response that okay, this is Old Trafford, we can win here as well. This is our home ground. This is our home. We need to beat these guys. So my prediction is that okay, forget whatever energy West Brom is coming with. They are coming with to the game. We need to give them perfect response by winning the game. So my prediction, I expect those guys, my guys, my lads, to win that game for us.
Okay, any score prediction?
We always concede. So I would say 4-1.
You don't have faith in the defense.
No, you don't need to laugh. No, I have faith, but there is always this issue with that back line whenever we are playing Premier League game. Sometimes it seems to forget that okay, you need to coordinate your line, you need to maintain your line, you need to watch your line. So you see these guys and in England teams, you know they are not joking. When they see the opportunity, they utilize it. If you can't utilize us, that's your problem. But if those guys see the opportunity, they utilize it. We've had one
against Chelsea. We had a clean sheet against Chelsea.
Huh?
The 0-0 draw.
No, that was a draw game, so I won't count that. But it's still a clean sheet. But I expect those guys to score, but we should outscore them. Rashford scoring, Martial scoring, Cavani scoring again. Bruno giving assist as well. And I see Bruno scoring again because, you know, we've all seen that for some time Bruno have been below par. But those two goals against Everton, I think, will give him another boost. So I expect winning from us. Okay. 4-1 scoreline.
Okay. For me, I expect it to be a tight game. Because I've watched a few West Brom matches, about three or four of them this season, and
I still watch them match. So I don't see they are not threatening. If we can cop them.
If you can cop
those guys from their midfield, giving crosses, not allowing this guy Bryant to walk, and this other guy with I don't know their names.
Because I'm not afraid of their crossing though.
No, sometimes they do. These guys, if you watch their game today, they wanted to.
They were crossing a lot. But you know, I said I'm not afraid of them crossing because I've seen the attackers. I'm not sure any of your attacker is as tall as Lindelof.
He's not as tall, but
we have Maguire in our defense, someone who has won the most for a defender this season.
So we've considered from area, but so you don't we rest assured that we won't concede the game from here.
But personally, because of our history with Slaven Bilic, I remember when it was at West Ham, we all know what he did with his West Ham team against us. So I expect it to be a close game, but I still expect that we would win. I would say 2-0.
Okay, you hope you
keep a clean sheet. I believe we'll keep a clean sheet.
Okay, then if you can keep that, a good one for us, but we'll wait and see.
Keeping a clean sheet is a good platform to go forward and smash the game.
And you'll be a good boost for our David De Gea as well.
Yeah. So two looks like a realistic stuff.
Yeah, but whatever the scoreline, 3 points is very, very important.
That is the cocoa of the matter.
Uh-huh. Even if it's half zero, I just need the 3 points, bro. Confirm the 3 points, me, anything. Even if it is any goal, is a goal. Just give me one goal. Let me get a 3 point and walk away. I need to catch up with those guys at the front, because this is the time we can catch up. When we allow them to give us a big margin, it will be very difficult to get into that top four. So now we need to just keep on getting to the top four. We just need to grind the results and get our 3 points.
So thank you very much for coming on today's episode.
Really, you're welcome, and thank you for having me as well.
So that'll be all.
Hope say una enjoy the match.
We don't dribble.
We don't shoot our shots.
We don't tear it.
And we don't put 3 points for pockets. Till next Sunday on Red to the Bones.
Tell your friends where they can't see, waiting you save don't see.